right, everyone. It's good to have you all here tonight. Glad to see your face. I'm excited that God has brought us through another day. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for this opportunity to come before you and study your word. We thank you for your direction. We thank you for not only loving us continuously, but for this day of mercy and grace. We ask God that you lead and guide us in this study on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We have been talking about the character of God, studying the attributes of God. We have talked about quite a few of them so far. But last we talked about the sovereignty of God. And in our last Bible study, we were to read the scriptures and be prepared and ready for tonight's discussion, which would be about the wisdom of God. Also, just so you all can keep up, if you happen to not make it to the Bible study or you want to be a part and want to keep up with what we're doing, we now have our own, to those of you who use it, we have our own app. So if you go to Google Play or iTunes, you can look up St. Mark MBC of Morehouse. And if you look up St. Mark MBC of Morehouse on the iTunes or Google Play, you can see our app and you can download it. I have the Bibles lessons posted out there. There'll be a daily devotional. You can pay your tithes through it, offerings through it. It's a Bible in it, and an inbox just to keep up with different notifications. So if you want a daily word, you can go out there. Devotionals will be posted, sermons will be added. Basically a way for you to keep up with where we are and what's going on if you can't make it and you want to keep up with what we're doing.
St. Mark MBC of Morehouse.
St. Mark MBC of Morehouse is our church app. You can find it on Google Play or
iTunes.
Of Morehouse. So the information I'm covering tonight, if I'm saying anything or I go too fast and you can't quite get it, I'll make sure. Actually, it's already posted out there. And you'll be able to follow along and have all the scriptures and the assignments and things we're talking about. So, all right. So, talking about the wisdom of God, before we do that, how many of you were here for the study of the sovereignty of God? How many of you are here? I don't know, looking at the faces, I think you were here, Keith. I don't know if you were here, Miss Gaines. Miss Whitmore, you hiding, so yeah, you were here. that's an indication that you were here. So I just wanna know before we move forward, just kind of a brief review of some of the areas that we have covered to see if you all remember what the names mean and how does it reflect the character of God? What does the sovereignty of God mean? What do we mean when we say God is sovereign? Say it again.
Merciful.
He is merciful.
Powerful.
Yes. He is powerful. He is supreme. He is the supreme authority. When we talk about God's sovereignty, we also talked about God being infinite. What do we mean when we say God is infinite? We mean when we say God is infinite that He has no boundaries. He is not limited to space or time like we are as humans. He is... You can't confine Him into just this one little space because He's God. We discussed that
briefly that God was omniscient. How many remember what omniscient means? And we're going to go back over these. I'm going to have the information out there. But when you're talking about God's character, the importance of knowing God's character, you get to know who he is. You get to know what he's like. You get to understand how God operates and what God will do and what God doesn't do. It helps you to determine your thought pattern, whether what's happening in your life or to you is being done by God, or whether it's the enemy or even ourselves. So it's very important to know the character of a person. For instance, we discussed in one Bible study that there are some people we know in our lives that if you hear anything about them without talking to them, you can say whether or not they did or said something because you know their general character. Mothers know their daughters, fathers know their sons, spouses know one another, friends know one another, or you can just be acquainted with someone, but you can just about tell how they will react based upon their character. Another area that we discussed in the Bible study was God's faithfulness, that God is faithful and he can be trusted, he can be counted on, he is dependable. He is always there. He is. He doesn't make promises that he don't keep. He not only makes the promise, but he can withhold up on the promise of everything that he said he would do. So when we say God is faithful, and we sing the song, "Faithful, faithful is our God. I'm reaping the harvest God promised me. Take back what the devil stole from me." When we sing that, when we say that, we are appealing to God's character, to his attributes, to who he is and how he is as a person. We discussed briefly about God's... what was the other one we discussed? Can't remember right off, but basically we've been talking about the character of God and who he is and how he behaves. So since we know that, we want to talk about the wisdom of God tonight. So I want to get a few people to read some scriptures for me. I'll sign out 7 scriptures. So I need about 7 people to volunteer to read just one scripture for me. Who wants to go first? Alright. That's what I'm talking about. When she finds her glasses, we'll give her one. Alright. Proverbs 3:19. The second one, whoever would take that one is...
Okay.
All right, Jeremiah 10 and 12. The third one, Romans 16 and 27. All right.
16.
Yeah, Miss Washington will take 16 and 27. The next one is Job 12 and 13. All right. We got 2 more, Ephesians 1 and 8.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And Ephesians 3 and 10. The first one was Ephesians 1 and 8. The second one is Ephesians 3 and 10. Now, I want everybody to just get up real quick before we read. Come on.
Everybody come to the front. We're going to do a little quick, brief exercise. So what I'm trying to get across to us today. Come on, everybody, come on. Come on. Everybody, come on. Come on. Come on. All right. Now, pick you somebody in this room that you semi-trust.
All right, and find that person. And find that person and get off to your own space real quick. Find Carol. Find you somebody. Find you somebody. Find somebody. Now, I want one of you to face the other person and the other to turn your back to them. One of y'all face this way, the other one turn the other way. Alright, right, there we go. Alright, now give yourself a little space for it, son.
Go back.
Alright, the person in the back, stay where you're at. Now, you semi-trust this person, right? In the wisdom of God, I'm about to illustrate to you tonight what God desires from us when there's an element of trust. When you say you trust the person, then we're going to find out. So, you are going to fall back.
Well, let's switch around.
And you can't look. You got the trust that the person that's in front of you, that you selected, that you trust, will catch you. So the person who's standing in front, I'm going to ask that you close your eyes. That's complete trust. Close your eyes. And when I say go, I want you to fall back and allow the person behind you to catch you. Now, actually move up a little bit because you look too close. See, when you're in touching distance, that's easy. Come on back, son.
Wow.
Yeah. Because you got to trust the person behind you enough to know that regardless of the distance, they're going to catch you if you fall. Y'all ready? We're going to give you a minute. You ain't gonna skip this exercise. On three. One, close your eyes. Two, three, fall. Now, because you knew it was coming, you could brace yourself for it to some degree. But it would be totally different if somebody was behind you that you didn't trust. You selected this person. But God wants us to have the kind of trust in Him that He knows what's best. If He tells us to do it, we'll simply do it. Now, it's scary. I saw the look on her face when she went back. She said, "I know this is my problem."
Look, Mom.
She started looking. But my eyes are closed, and I'm going backwards. I need to... Mama! Now, how many of y'all can go back? How many people in this room has ever felt that way when you were getting ready to make a move in your life with God? And it's easy to trust Him for some things. It's easy to trust Him for some things. But when you're talking about total control, I mean, you completely letting go. That's not an easy thing to do. So to be a Christian, it doesn't necessarily mean that you won't fall sometimes. It does not mean that there will be some moments in your life, even with faith, that you feel like, oh my God, what am I doing? But the wisdom of God, when we talk about the wisdom of God as one of His attributes, then God understands the complete process. He can see what we can't see. In this room, I was able to see the looks on the people's face when I said, let go. That was, everybody in here was like, now wait a minute. You start trying to size up the person around you, in front of you, you want to know your feet right. I need to know if I fall, you gonna catch me. It makes you nervous. But when we talk about God's wisdom, we want to look specifically at what it says about God's wisdom, because in my limited understanding, God is infinite
And as humans, we are finite. Finite means we are fickle. We are limited. We are bound by space and times, and we have limits on us. But God is infinite, and since God is infinite, and I don't know it all, and I don't have all of the wisdom and all of the knowledge that there is to have, then I need to learn something about the character of God. Now, since we are on that, what is the difference between wisdom and knowledge?
Knowledge, means you study to get that. You know, you study, you have to, you know, acquire that wisdom. God is giving you, usually you should give you wisdom. And it's something that it doesn't matter about your age or, you know, education or, you know, it's on God.
Okay. I wouldn't argue against that, because God does give wisdom. He does give wisdom. Anyone else? I wouldn't argue against that at all, because yes, God does give wisdom.
I think the level of wisdom goes deeper than just simple knowledge. And it's acquired because of the vast number of experiences that a person has had.
How many of you have your cell phones with? Put it out and look it up. We use cell phones in this Bible study. We use every resource we have available to us. I want you to look up the word knowledge, and then I want you to look up the word wisdom. And the reason I'm having you do this in Bible study is because one thing I want to say for sure, every word that's presented in the English dictionary does not necessarily mean that that's what it means from a biblical standpoint. But I'm going to answer it, but I want you to see, do the two match up, even from an English standpoint. What is, anybody found, have you found knowledge? Which one you have, knowledge or wisdom? Anybody found one yet?
I don't have
no connection. Okay, no connection in here. But that's okay. Alright, let's see what you got on knowledge. Everybody listen.
It says facts, information, and skills acquired by a person through experience or education.
Alright, say it again.
Facts, information, and skills acquired by a
person. Hold on, we got some writers. Facts. We got some writers. We got some writers. Now we're recording this, but we got some writers. Facts, information,
and skills acquired by a person.
This is important. This next part.
Through experience or education.
That lines up with the biblical definition. Through experience and education. There are some things that reading can allow you to learn, and there are some things that experience can teach you that your reading might not teach you. Yes, sir. So now let's apply this concept that we just learned about the definition to what's said in the scripture. My people perish for a lack of what? All right, say it again. My people perish for what? All right. So if they perish for a lack of knowledge, and we just learned that, then break that down for me. My people perish for a lack of
information
and experience. Okay, we going somewhere now. My people perish for a lack of education and experience. Some people have the education. They're great with the books, but they lack some experience to go with their education. Now, since we have the understanding of what knowledge is, let's look at wisdom. Because that's going to be important. Since we are studying the wisdom of God, we need to understand first what is wisdom? How is it defined? And if you have your cell phones, Ms. Gaines, we are using those in the class today. So look up, put them cell phones out, and look up wisdom. Some people have bad connections, so if you find it. But it's worth the wait, because just getting these definitions is going to help us
I could just give it to you, but then that wouldn't be Bible study. We digging together. We digging. Yes, sir. A short definition of knowledge. It is acquired through education and experience. Information acquired through education or experience. Read wisdom.
It says the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the quality of being wise.
All right. You have another note, Ms. Smith?
It's the same thing she read.
All right. Read it again. If anybody listen.
The quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment.
All right. Stop. Everybody heard that? Because there's an element that is added in wisdom that's very important. You just heard one of those words in knowledge. Say it again.
The quality of having experience.
The quality of having experience. We heard that in knowledge, right?
Yes.
All right.
Knowledge.
Uh-huh.
And good judgment.
Oh.
Good judgment.
Knowledge. You can gather the information through studying. You can gather the information through experience. But wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge that you have acquired. You can have a whole lot of knowledge, but not know how to apply it in a given situation. If you are wise about a lot of things, but yet somebody can come along who has wisdom and can tell you, well, that's what the scripture means. This is how you do this or that. People who are considered to be wise usually have both knowledge and wisdom. Because in order for them to be wise, they have to have some knowledge in order to disseminate. So when we talk about the wisdom of God, we're talking about a God who is not limited in his wisdom, but he has infinite wisdom. What infinite mean? We've been talking about that. There you go. That's right. He has no boundaries to his wisdom. Whereas there are certain things a person may consider you or I to be wise about. There are some things I just don't know. I make some dumb decisions. Am I the only one in the room that makes some dumb decisions? You know what I mean? Or get in some places where you have knowledge, but you can't really figure out which direction or how you need to move in this particular manner. Well, why would that be important? Why would it be important to know that it's part of God, of who God is and his character, that he's wise? How would that help you? What does that mean to you to know that God, there are no limits to his wisdom? So what happens to you when, let me take a doctor for an example. What happens if you go to your doctor and they prescribe you medicine and it causes a reaction in your body, and you go back and they prescribe you something else and it causes another reaction in your body, and you go back the next time and the same thing happened? What does that do to you in your experience? Anybody? What would you do from that point? Would you go back? Why?
Lack of trust.
God's wisdom. Well, if the same doctor, if you went to a different doctor and every time you went to this doctor, you received great results, would you continue going back?
Mm-hmm.
Why? You develop some trust based upon the knowledge and the wisdom that they have given you, has taken you from the position you were in when you went to see them into a better condition when you left away from them. Likewise with God, because he has all wisdom, that's why the scripture constantly tells us to seek him and acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. He will make our path straight.
what we do is we go down our path and we get stuck, and then we ask God about it, and then he helps us out. But we could avoid some things in our life if we go to him first. But even born again, loving, blood washed Christians, we all get it wrong sometimes. Sometimes we think we know, but we don't necessarily have all the things that we need. Let's look at it from a scriptural standpoint. What does Proverbs 3:19 say? Who had Proverbs 3:19? Mm-hmm. All right.
It says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens."
Say it again.
"The Lord by wisdom founded the earth."
Stop. "The Lord by wisdom did what?"
Founded the earth.
What does wisdom mean?
Knowing what to do with the knowledge and experience.
So based upon your definition, you just told me God know what he's doing. So say it again. God by what?
"The Lord by wisdom founded the earth."
He founded the earth. Alright, we're gonna deal with that in a second. Go for it.
"By understanding he established the heavens."
By understanding he established the heavens. So he didn't just do something and hope that it worked. He didn't start something and not know what the end result would be like. Most builders have what they call a blueprint. And because they're skilled in what they're doing, the blueprint to, I just speak for myself, the blueprint to me just looked like a whole lot of stuff in place. And if you ask me, is the door over here or over there? I don't know where the door is over here or what's going on over there. All I know is this is what I want, and you say this is what it is, so just draw it up and build what I just told you I want. That's pretty much where I stop off at. But somebody who knows what they're doing can take a drawing and tell me that if you put this over here, you're going to mess up something over here. A wise and master builder knows what he's doing. You have a God who took his time not only founding and building what we can see with our eyes, but yet took his time with you. You were no surprise to God. You were not, contrary to what some people may believe, some people don't have a high self-esteem. But everything that God does, he does in wisdom, and he knows what he's doing. Now, to us, it may seem like it's an imperfection. But to God, it has a purpose. If it's created, it was created for his purpose, and it serves a purpose, although we may or may not like it. Read that scripture again.
"The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens."
By understanding, he established the heavens. So we've looked at knowledge, we've looked at wisdom. What's the difference in understanding? Can you have knowledge and wisdom and not understand it? Or is it one and the same? See, these are simple words we hear all the time, but it's important to know the difference. Can a person have knowledge and wisdom without understanding?
You gotta understand what you're doing. You have to. Y'all think. Think now. Think. We in Bible study. Think you better think. Think
about what you're trying to tell me.
I would say you can.
Well, defend your point.
Okay, for example, you take a person that is very smart. I mean, very, very smart. They can have knowledge because they learn. And then they can have
That's right. Look
wisdom.
At them notes.
They can have wisdom.
That's
but
right.
They don't have the judgment. They don't have the understanding to finish carrying something out.
So what does understanding mean? Based upon what you tell me.
Being able to interpret and carry out an act.
Can you support that?
Yes.
Will you stand on that? Will you stick a pin on that? Say that again.
I'm saying you can have knowledge, and like when you in school, and you know, the teacher, you reading something, but you don't necessarily understand what you read. You know, you can read it and know what the words themselves are saying because you have knowledge and how to read, but not necessarily be comprehending and have a full understanding of what it really is to be able to carry it out.
Okay, y'all listen to this. Understanding. The ability to comprehend. Sympathetic awareness of other people's feelings. Tolerant and forgiving. And last, having insight or good judgment. Wanna do it? Which you want? Where you want the woman to start from the top? All right. The ability to comprehend, sympathetic awareness of other people's feelings. Sympathetic awareness of other people's feelings. Tolerant and forgiving. Having insight or good judgment. Now here's a good interjection here, since we're in Bible study. Words can have different meanings. But when we talk about the understanding, I wanted you all to look that up, because when we talk about the understanding of it, look at what the definition of understanding adds to the scripture you just read when it talks about what God did. Because I want you all to see what I see when I'm going through this, when I'm studying, and why I get so excited about when I'm talking about God. Because when you do Bible study, it reveals to you just how much God loves you, just how much He is prepared, and the extent that He will go to operate in our lives. So read that passage again now that we have the understanding of it. Proverbs 3:19.
Okay. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens.
Read again.
The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth.
Okay.
By understanding, He established the heavens.
By understanding, He established the heavens. What I'm doing right now is called how you meditate on scripture. You can't rush through it. You can't read it and just read it. You read it and you break down what you read. You read it and you look up what you don't understand. You read it and then you go back and read it again, because now you got a better understanding of what you didn't have before. And then you take it and you repeat it. And then you take it and you think on it. Until you do it so much that what you have read now turns into what you have studied, and then from what you have studied to now what has become a part of you. When that happens, when you do this, the Holy Spirit then can recall what you've put on the inside. This is how you get it on the inside. Because the next time any person says something about wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, your brain gonna go like a little computer pulling up the information that you just went through. So, since he
from his understanding did this. What did he do with his understanding?
He established the heavens.
He established the heavens. So, based upon your definition, tell me what all God did in his understanding of establishing the heavens.
He took into account, like, the people's being sent there to the people when he was establishing.
What else?
You mean the creation of the heavens as we know today?
Mm-hmm.
He was the power and the beauty of the people.
See how much we miss when we just read a passage? Mm-hmm. Because when you first read it, you don't get from it what you did when you just read it, because it's like you're reading it from your preconceived idea of what it means. But when you take it and you spend some time with it and you dig deep, and you're not so concerned about making sure you finish a chapter or making sure you finish this whole, you're taking some time with it so that you can get all that God is trying to say to you personally from that text. Just told us he had us in mind. He was forgiving, because God knows that we didn't deserve any of the things that he did. But what else, Keith? What else is saying that definition?
Tolerant
and insight and good judgment. Alright, who has the step in? Jeremiah 10 and 12. Let me hear you.
So he had us in mind when he was creating?
Just like he had us in mind in the garden, he didn't wait till man sinned to have a plan for him. Hell was never the destination for people. It was designed to be for the place of the angels who left their first estate, which is referred to as demons. It was never meant for people to be there. God, even before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, had prepared a way of an escape, a place for his people, and a desire to reunite and connect with them. It was always God's plan. He didn't just say, okay, well, you did that, I'm going to do this. Nothing surprised him. I'm glad to know I serve a God who knows. The Bible says he is our author and our finisher. He knows us completely. Go ahead, Jada. Jeremiah 10 and 12. What did it say?
He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heavens at his discretion.
What's the first part of that?
He has made the earth by his power.
He has made the earth. We're learning something about our God now. Y'all need to make notes of this. You might hear it again. He's done what? Say it again, Jay.
He has made the earth by his power.
He's made the earth by his power. What's one of the terms or definitions for speaking of God's power? That's one way. But he's omnipotent. He has all power. But in his omnipotence, since you brought it up, he's also sovereign, which means he has supreme authority. He can operate in the matter that he see fit according to his will. I talked about in the previous Bible study that to really be all powerful, you have to have the power and the authority. There are some people on the job who may have a certain amount of power, but they may not have the authority to make certain decisions. That's why there's a hierarchy in most jobs. Well, this person may be in charge of this area, and this person is over here, and then you have somebody above them. Well, if you're looking at the hierarchy, God always on top. I don't care who you see physically in the position, he in control. He's sovereign. That's what we mean when we talk about that. But God in his power did what, Jay?
Made the earth.
All right. What else he did?
He has established the world by his wisdom.
So we have already learned, as it refers to wisdom, that God knew what he was doing. So in establishing it, he was also mindful of man, also mindful of his creation, because we say he was mindful of man, but do you remember in Matthew chapter 6 that man is not the only person that God provides for? He provides for the animals. Everything is put in place by God. Do y'all know I can't stand bees, but they have a purpose? You know, I just wish they would let me in my house sometime. Stay away from my doors. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, ain't nothing worse than getting stung. You know, ain't nothing worse than getting stung. But yet God, in his wisdom, made the bee to have his purpose. The bee, I don't know what else he does, but I do know he pollinates flowers, and I wish that he can go on about his business away from my doors, but it has its purpose. Even the small things that get on our nerves and drive us crazy, God in his wisdom created it. So he knew what he was doing. What else, Jaden?
And has stretched out the heavens at his discretion.
At his discretion. Stretched out the heaven at his discretion. In other words, it pleased God. This is the way he wanted to do it. And he's sovereign and he can do it like that if he wants to. And who's going to say that he can't do it? Who's going to stop him? That's God flexing his muscle in scripture. I did this at my discretion. But yet, when I did it with the whole of creation in mind. I didn't just do it just for this one individual. I didn't just do it just for this animal. I have the big picture in mind. Why would a loving, all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful God choose to die for sinners? Why y'all think he would do that? Because he can do what he wants at his discretion. We just read that. He God. What you gonna do? Who's going to stop him? If he wanted to, he could have chosen to do it another way. But I'm asking you all on your thoughts. Why would God do it?
Because he's loving and forgiving.
Because he's loving and forgiving. Why else? What's another reason? He is sovereign. Ultimately, why would he want to do it?
I mean, he wants us also to be mindful of the hurt that he had experienced to see his son die. And at the same time, by us being mindful, hoping it will wake us up to realize that we need that relationship with him because of the sacrifice he made for us by giving his son in our stead.
Well, y'all said some good stuff. I'm going to tuck that in for another time. But I'm going to help y'all out, though. That's some good stuff. I like asking y'all questions. In Genesis, I'm going to jog y'all memory because you've read it and you've heard it, but I want to zero in on the overall reason why God would do this. He made, in the creation process, who did he make last?
Man.
Huh?
Man.
You sure?
No.
Going once, going twice?
Wouldn't say make in terms of
the yeah, he made animals. You just heard he formed creation. I mean, I want to know who was last.
Man.
The woman was last.
Okay, well, we're going
to... Father, think yourself. Know what you say.
Okay, well,
We're gonna put mankind in with man and woman. Can we do that?
So yeah, man was man.
Okay. So do y'all remember the statement, there is no one like us? Who said it? Who? You are right. I can't debate that. That is true. Song did say that. Let's look at it. Let's go look at it. This is important. I didn't think I was going to go in this manner, but God can do what he wants to do. Genesis chapter 1, because we need to know why God would do this. We need to clear up the answer to this question. Alright, so let's see. Y'all in chapter 1?
Yes.
Alright, so that started verse 15. Everybody there? I'll give you a second. We're going to start at Genesis chapter 1, verse 15. Who had one of them real simple reading Bibles? King James, it might make it look complicated for you. What you got? What you got?
Devotion,
women's devotion. Let's try it out. Let's see what verse started verse 15 for me.
And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so.
Keep going.
God made two great lights. The greater light to go in the day and the lesser light to go in the night.
Keep going.
He also made the stars.
Mm-hmm.
God
stepped in. So hold on now. Y'all listening, we just read that God made creation, right? So we're looking specifically at some of the things he did. It's a lot more before this, but I'm starting here for a purpose. Keep going.
God stepped in the expanse of the sky to give light on earth,
mm-hmm.
to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly over the earth across the expanse of the sky.
He did that.
So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living and moving.
All of them, lobster, crab, all of them that we eat. We love all of them.
The water teem, according mm-hmm. to their kinds, and every
can you say he did that?
He did that.
Mm-hmm.
And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in the number and fill the water in the seas.
Now, who is the them he blessed?
Things just created.
All right, all right. Okay, keep going.
And that the birds increase on the earth. And there was nothing and there was none in the fifth day.
Uh-huh.
God said, let the land produce many creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground,
mm-hmm.
and wild animals, each according to its kind.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds.
He did that.
The livestock according to their kinds,
mm-hmm.
and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds.
Mm.
And God saw that it was good.
It was good. He did that. Said, now here we go. Here we go.
Let us make man.
Let who?
Let us
uh-huh.
in our image
uh-huh.
and in our likeness
uh-huh.
and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air
mm-hmm.
over the livestock over the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him.
And what verse 28 you say?
So God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, move over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food.
No, you can start right there. God did all this. Go ahead, dude. It sure is. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
That is the Trinity represented in the beginning of the Word of God. Now, very interesting, which is why I'm glad she put emphasis on that, and I had to go back and read it. The Hebrew term for that is Elohim, which is the plural form of the name of God, which suggests that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were active in creation. You can see that if you back up a little bit. Go back to verse number 1. It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness moved upon the face of the deep. And what else? So in the beginning God created, you see the Father, the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. You see the Spirit, right? You see all the rest of this creation that we just got to read? Alright, so let me show you something. Go to John chapter 1. Y'all fun having Bible study with me. Tell you. All right. John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. It's a very familiar scripture, but I want to show you in the Word. If you see the Father in the beginning, God, if you see the Spirit hovering upon the face of the water, then we got one that's missing. So what did he do? Alright. Verse 1, you with me? Alright, give you a second. Alright. Let me get the second place so you all can follow me. Let me get that with you. All right. In the beginning was the Word. Y'all see that?
Sure.
And the Word was what?
God.
And the Word what?
Was.
Keep going.
Was.
And what verse 3 say?
All
John. What verse 4 say?
He was life. And the life was the life of me.
Who is him? We saw the Holy Spirit. We saw the Father. Okay, let me make it plain. Go to Colossians chapter 1. This is going to get straight to it, so you won't have to guess. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 15. All the entire Godhead was at work in creation. The entire Godhead was at work in salvation. And so we need to see. Say it again. Yeah, Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Do you have a heading on top of your Bible over verse 15?
Yes.
What does it say?
The Supreme Steadfast.
Anybody else?
The Epistle of Paul.
Over verse 15? Right over verse 15. Do you have one? You have one, Ms. Mills?
What is it now?
You have a subtitle over verse 15 in your Bible?
Yes.
Okay.
Ephesians 1 and 7.
No, Colossians 1 and 15.
How many are saying something?
Like, do you have like a heading?
Oh, yes. No,
okay. Yours said the
supremacy of Christ.
The supremacy of Christ. Mine says the preeminence of Christ, which is the same thing. We're talking about Jesus Christ. So before we start reading anything going forth from him, we are talking about who? So Paul is the one talking to the church at Colossae, but he is talking about how Christ is supreme. He is above the angels. Their belief in that church at that time was that there were a group of people who held supreme knowledge called the Gnostics. These are the people who knew more than anybody else. And Paul says nobody, they had a view of Christ as just being an angel. Paul writes to tell them, no, Jesus Christ is not an angel or from your point of view or perspective, he's higher than the angel. Verse 15 says this about Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, being the image of the invisible God, the only way that mankind was able to ever behold God was through Jesus Christ. That's what's called the incarnation, meaning that when he came to to be with us on earth, when we just start reading in John, it said, I'll read it to you all. Verse 4, when we got to verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John, who came to bear witness of the light. So basically, in John, it's telling us that in Jesus was our way of physically beholding God. He was the express image of who he is. Verse 15 tells us what I just told you, but verse 16 says, for by him were all things created. This is where we get specific on who did the creation that you just read about in Genesis. What does it say in verse 16? For by him, who is him? Colossians 1 and 16.
Jesus.
There you go. That's who we're talking about. What did Jesus do? According to verse 16.
All things were created.
You're going too fast. See, that's Bible study. How many things?
All things.
So we saw in the beginning God. We saw the Father. We saw the Spirit in Genesis 1. And all that stuff that you just read about creation, Jesus created. You see that? Keep reading. It says, and what does verse 16 say all together?
So by him all things were created, there are in heaven and there are apart.
Keep going.
Visible and invisible, whether it comes or remains, or principalities or powers.
Keep going. You don't miss this.
All things were created through him and for him.
Through him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So not only did he create it, he's holding it together. That's some kind of power. We need to realize when we talk about the character of God and we read these things and we understand the power of the God we serve, it'll make us stop being so anxious and scared and afraid about so much that's going on in the world, because he holds it together. And he created the powers, and he created. So whatever is in place, even according to Romans, it says that we ought to pray for those who are in leadership, because whether we like them or not, God put them in position. So that means, although I am to care as a Christian, and although I am to cast my vote when election time comes forth or when any other thing is going, my all shouldn't be caught up in who gets in the office. My all should be tied up in who I'm serving, because I know God created it all. And since he's a God of wisdom, no matter who gets in office, he's not going to stop taking care of his people.
He's a wise God. You think whoever get in office surprise God? He know how to provide for you when somebody crazy is your boss, and when you got somebody good, it don't make no difference. You still gonna be taken care of by God. Listen, we don't have time to go into the rest of it. That is our Bible study tonight. There's so much more I wanted to get to, so we'll probably pick back up on it our next Bible study. But to those of you who wasn't here at the time we started, we do have our own church app now. You can get it on Google Play or iTunes, and it has our Bible studies in it. You have daily devotionals in it. You have a Bible on it. You can pay your tithes through it. Pretty much just a connection portal to and through our church. So sermons are out there. The recorded Bible studies, I try to start making those available out there. But do the best you can to pull up the document. If you do it on your phone, that's fine. But read over it and be more acquainted with it, so when we come back the next time, we can have more of a discussion here tonight. I love you all, and it's been a pleasure being with you here on tonight. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you right now for your wisdom. Thank you for helping us to understand and to grow together, and hearing the difference between knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. We thank you for being the God who lead us and guide us. And in your wisdom, when we don't understand what move to make, we know, God, that if we follow your word, if we seek your kingdom first, that all these other things that we desire shall be added unto us. We also know, God, that if we acknowledge you in all our ways, you have promised to direct our paths. You said in your word that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And so, God, you meant by fear for your people to reverence you. So we reverence you. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory for being the God that you are, for being infinite. You're not bound by anything, for being sovereign for your people, knowing, God, that you have all of the power in your hand. We thank you for the love, for the protection, and for the faithfulness that you give us as our God. Now, we ask, God, that you give us traveling grace as we leave this place, and never from your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.